So our readings this morning present us with three call stories. First, we heard Andy read the call of the prophet Isaiah. Then we heard about the call of the apostle Paul. And finally, Luke's account of Jesus' calling of his first disciples. And it's actually pretty fitting that we'd hear these three call stories this morning, because we believe we witnessed another call just this morning when in water and word here, Raya was claimed by God as precious child, and with that claiming comes God's call for her. God has said to her and to all of us who are baptized, "You are mine, I love you, now follow me." And Raya doesn't remember this, and I don't remember if I said anything to Monica or not, I can't recall, but the first day that I met her, I remember standing still in the nursery in the incubator room over there in Thomasville Hospital with you, Matthew, and we prayed for Raya to hear God's call. Matthew and I stood in there, and I think I held her foot maybe while she was in the incubator. And we prayed for all the things that you'd think of with a newborn baby, that she'd be healthy and strong, that she'd put on some weight that she needed at that point so she could go home. But above all, we prayed that she would grow to be the person that God is calling her to be, right? And today was a step on that path, a step in that direction for Raya. And so now that she... Now that we, who are the community of the baptized, have been claimed and called, what can we expect from here on out? What happens next? And I think these three call stories in Scripture give us some idea about what we might expect. And what I notice is that if you're pretty happy with the way things are, if you don't want your life to change, well, you might want to avoid an encounter with the holiness of God, because in all three cases of the scriptures we read this morning, things seem to change pretty drastically for the ones encountered and called by God. First, there's Isaiah, right? And Isaiah goes from being just some guy with unclean lips, as he describes himself, to one who speaks as the prophet of the Lord. And immediately he's sent out with this really unpleasant message about cities that will lie in waste without inhabitant and houses without people and the land utterly desolate. I don't imagine that's what Isaiah was hanging out doing before this encounter with God, right? And then we hear about Paul, who goes from being a persecutor of the church to being an apostle. In this 180-degree turn, that's a complete change for the trajectory of his life. And then finally, we hear about James and John and Simon Peter, who go from being small business owners one moment, you know, with their fishing boats and all their gear, and in the very next breath, they're leaving it all behind for the sake of following Jesus. So I think it's pretty safe to assume, for Raya and for us, that when we encounter God, we don't come away the same as we were before. Something changes. What we believe has changed is that the stranglehold of sin and death on us has been broken, because by claiming us in water and word, God has joined us to the risen life of Jesus Christ. We have been covered by the righteousness of Jesus, and so therefore we have been made heirs to the promise of eternal life. Not, we should note, because we deserve any of that, right? Did Isaiah deserve to stand in the presence of the Lord and be God's messenger? Isaiah didn't think he deserved it. He says, "Woe is me. I'm a lost man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." He didn't deserve it. But God redeems him anyway, blotting out his sin. And it's a similar story, actually, for Paul, who himself admits that he's unfit even to be called an apostle after what he did to those who believed in Jesus. Similarly, again, when Simon Peter realizes in this story of fishing from Luke that the presence of God in Jesus is here before him. He falls down and cries out, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." But all three of them are called by God anyway, so it can't be about our deserving, which is good news, right? Because we routinely fall short of who and what God calls us to be. And yet, God calls us anyway. God claims us anyway, just as God has called Isaiah and Paul and Simon Peter. It's pure grace. Do you all think there might be some moments where Raya messes up? I think there might be some coming. Do you think there'll be times where she gets it royally wrong? And where she sometimes hurts people in the process? I expect there will be, right? That's part of what it means to be human, which is why it's so important for us who care about her and who support her growth in the life of faith to remind her of who she is, that whatever else anybody might say about her, whatever she might even think about herself sometimes, at her core, we know who she is, a beloved child of God, claimed, forgiven, fed, and freed for the sake of doing God's work in the world. That's our responsibility as parents and faith mentors. That's the responsibility we have as a family of faith for her, this congregation, to help her know that what defines her, what's at her core, who she is precious child of God, loved beyond belief and called to serve in a world full of need. It's something worth hearing over and over again. It's something worth being reminded of. It's the same kind of reminding that Paul's doing for the believers in Corinth when he says, "Now, I would remind you of the good news, brothers and sisters, that Christ died for our sins and that he was raised," right? This is the kind of reminding we all need on a regular basis, that despite whatever darkness lurks in your world, in your life, or even in your heart, you, yes, you, are a precious child of God, and God loves you so much that God sends Jesus to save you. Jesus, who walked among us, directed these first disciples to this giant catch. Jesus, who death could not hold, who has defeated the final power of death. Jesus, who redeems us and calls us to catch people and draw us into the kingdom of God. Jesus, who will come again to make all creation new and set right the hurt of the world. This is the one that you are joined to. This is who we are, the people who believe, the people who are rooted in this identity. And all of that means that we can't be the same as we were before we encountered God. We can't look the same as the world that doesn't know God. If we believe, then we act like we do. We can't act like we don't, because encounters with God do not leave people the same as they were. They change us forever. And as miraculous as the catch of fish was that Jesus directs Simon, James, and John to haul in, it's not the only miracle of the story, and maybe it's not even the most impressive one. The other miracle that happens here is that once they take in all these fish and bring them to the shore, the fishermen walk away, right? They leave it all there and follow him. Meaning, it sounds like not only do they leave their boats and nets that would have been their livelihoods, they also presumably leave all those fish that would have been hugely valuable to them at market. They leave them right there because their encounter with God has left them changed. Their priorities are different now. I'm here to remind you this morning that God encounters you in the waters of your baptism, God claims you, and God calls you. You are changed because of that. Your priorities have to be different. You can't live like nothing is different. So what do you do? What do we do as the people of God in everything that we are and all that we have? We strive to follow Jesus. That's who we are, the people who believed, the people who have been changed, the people who now can't help follow Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.